Hey, welcome to the Renaissance Podcast. Join us this week as we dig into the Word of God and grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Howdy, Renaissance. Jeff here. Not long ago, I had this wonderful idea to ask several of my friends, people that I believe have a great understanding on what it's like to live a Christian life. I wanted to ask them this one question and to get their response from it. The question is this: what is that one thing that you wish you knew when you first became a Christian? Because knowing it would have been extremely beneficial to your life. Over the next few weeks, we'll get to hear their answer to that question, and hopefully we will all be encouraged by what they have to say. This week's speaker is Robo Krebs. Robo is a very special person to us here at Renaissance because he came to faith in Jesus here at the church. When he first started to attend, and I love telling this story, he thought everything that I said was garbage. And the only reason he came back is because he loved the music. And yet, week after week after week, the gospel of Jesus began to transform his life. Over the past 5 years, we have watched Robo's life just changed exponentially. He has a tremendous understanding of the Bible now. He knows what it's like to listen to God's voice and to follow him. Would you please join me in welcoming Robo to the stage as he comes to share with us that one thing that he thinks we would all benefit by knowing?
Thank you. Hope everyone's doing good this morning. My name is Robo Krebs, if you couldn't tell from the video, and I serve on the prayer team here at Renaissance. And it is my privilege to speak to you guys today through the Word of God and continue the series we have titled, That One Thing. If you haven't been here in the past few weeks, you didn't listen to the video, here's the question our head pastor has posed to four guest speakers, me being the fourth. I'm batting cleanup, so to speak. Okay, he said, what's that one thing you wish you would have known now that you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15 years? Like, what would you go back and tell your former self that once you said yes, this is going to happen? So again, I'm the fourth speaker. We've had three other speakers before me. The first, Joe Auville, got up. He spoke and he said, I didn't realize how important church attendance was. Not that church attendance gets you anything, but it's good to be around like-minded people, and with that, you get to grow. That you get to be around people of faith, and you get to do that inside this church. Oh, and by the way, you have a role to do. Ephesians 4 tells us God has given gifts to every single person, and that inside the church, you're supposed to use them to build up the church. So when you come here, you got a role to do. I don't know if it's on the serving team. I don't know if it's up here singing. I don't know if it's preaching. I don't even know if I'm going to be good at this. We'll find out. I don't know what it is, but you have a role to do. Todd Tuggle got up, pastor for 15 years, and did an unbelievable job. And he reminded everybody that we live in a culture that says go, but God says take one day of rest. That we, men, women, didn't institute rest, but God did. And here's why I keep taking away from Todd this, that if you don't set time aside for a Sabbath or a day of rest, you won't do it. So you have to plan it in your schedule. And then our third speaker, Samuel Warden, oh my goodness, he was unbelievable. Now, before I talk about Sam, I got to give Jeff a quick jab, okay? I have to. He's been on this stage before, and he's went at me as a basketball coach talking about how my team's not very good. So this is my time to get him back, okay? Samuel was so good. He talked about an attitude of worship. As he's finished speaking, he gets off the stage and walks out, and people clap for him. I've been at Renaissance 5, 6 years, heard Jeff speak hundreds of times. No one's ever clapped for Jeff. Nobody. That's how good Samuel was. And Samuel reminded us that, hey, worshiping God isn't circumstantial, that you're going to have awful days. You're going to have great days. You're going to have middle-of-the-road days. He deserves to be praised in every single time, no matter what. He deserves to be praised, that if he never does anything else for you, like, isn't Jesus enough to continue to praise him? Before I get into my one thing, you got to understand my background. So I'm going to answer that question. You know, what's that one thing for me? I got to tell you my story, so to speak, and I got two parts. I got a basketball story. My life's always followed the game of basketball and still kind of is today. And I got a church story. Growing up in my household, mom was a volleyball coach. Sister did the volleyball thing. Dad was a basketball coach, I mean, when I was born, so all he knew was basketball, and all I knew was basketball, and I followed him in that. And when you're around the game 24-7, I mean, I went to my dad's practices, went to his games, watched him watch film, you fall in love with the game. And when you're around it all the time, you get pretty good at it. You do. It is what it is. It's like anything else. If you spend a lot of time with it, you get good at it. I was the kid in third and fourth grade that verbalized, I want to be a professional basketball player. Side note, my mom said, there's no way you can do that. So she in the crowd, oh, let's boo. Boo her real quick. Boo. My mom doubted me. Third and fourth grade. I was the kid. Like, I want to play professional basketball. Like, that's what I want to be. And to do that, you got to go through some steps. So in high school, I was so fortunate to get not 10, not 20, but one Division I offer. Played at UIC. For all the U of I fans in here, I'm 1-0 versus you guys. Just so you know, okay? Just so you know, I'm 1-0. I get to college, and here's what happens when you get to college. I was so fortunate enough to get a Division I scholarship offer because I'm closer to that dream of playing professional basketball. Like, get paid to play. That's what I want to do. That's what I wanted to do. I'm one step closer. I'm in college now, and you get 4 years, and your coach owns you in college. Own you. They own you, okay? And you either, through those 4 years, you get good at the game and you fall in love with it again, or you go the other way. It's like, you've done this too much. This is 4 years. I can't wait to get out of the game. I was this guy. I was the guy who fell in love and still wanted that dream. Still wanted to play professional basketball. Living in the city of Chicago, I was fortunate enough to, again, not have five agents come calling, but one. All you need is one. I had an agent who liked me. Liked my game, and here's what happens when you want to play in the NBA or overseas, okay? They get your game film, he takes it, and he ships it to people overseas. It can be anywhere. Ships it to his contacts in Germany. Do you like this kid? What about Russia? It can be Italy. It can be Spain. It can be anywhere. I found one team, again, that liked me in the Republic of Georgia. You don't know where it is. It's all right. It's right south of Russia, okay? They love my game, want me to come in and play instantly. I would play in the capital city of Tbilisi, and there's 3 million people in the city, okay? And again, I don't know if I've built this up enough, but this is my lifelong dream. Lifelong dream, like from third and fourth grade. Like, I'm trying to get paid to play the game, and I finally get it. Like, hallelujah, it's about time. 23 years not gone down the drain. I actually get to play basketball and get paid to do it. And I'm over in Georgia, and here's what happens. Here's what you don't realize. Time difference, 8 hours. 8 a.m., 9 a.m., you guys are in bed. It's midnight or 1 a.m. back here. Like, I can't Skype. I can't get on the Magic Jack and call my friends back home. Anyone know what the Magic Jack is? Okay, never. I can't Skype. Can't do it. You guys are asleep. It's not till 3 or 4 p.m. that I can actually call my family and my friends. You look up the stats about Georgia online, it says like 30% of the population speaks English. Bro, their definition of speaking English is hello. Hi, like you can't even carry on a conversation with anybody. They speak Georgian in Georgia. Top 5 hardest language to learn. Like there's a lot of hard R's and some, I can't even pronounce it. I'll give you an example. We say hi or hello. They say gama juba. Like it's hi. Like I'm not learning this language. And when you can't learn the language, you can't make friends, man. You can't make friends. So the time difference. And now I can't make friends. I can't speak the language. And I learned very quickly that four walls can become hell. Really can. You don't have any friends. You don't have anybody. Like going to the grocery store was an issue. You can't buy something because it's in Georgia. It has to have a picture on the box. You can't even buy it. Now, keep in mind, this is my lifelong dream. This is what I worked 23 years for to get over here. Basketball is great. Statistically, the best season of my career. I averaged more points professionally than I did in high school. I loved basketball, but it only happened like an hour or two of the day. Life outside of that was miserable, and it sent me into depression, and it hurt. And I say it all the time, some of you might agree, the day I got my dream job was the day I died. I realized it wasn't going to fulfill me anymore. Man, it blew my mind. It literally sent me into a depression. I kid you not. I had trouble waking up out of bed, but I'm a professional basketball player. Yeah, cool. I couldn't even get out of bed half the time. Georgia, finally, got it. Professional basketball player, leave that here. Church story. I didn't grow up in church. The name Jesus was not said in my household. Unbelievable parents. We didn't pray before meals. I saw my mom go to church sometimes. My dad didn't really go to church. I didn't know what Jesus had done. I knew the name. I knew about the cross. But I had no understanding of anything church related. Like, true story, I come to faith. I'll get to that here in a second. But I was under the impression I heard the name Virgin Mary before. I'm a nickname guy. Real name's Robert. Nickname's Robo. I was under the impression that the Virgin Mary was her nickname. Like, hey, what's up, Virgin Mary? How you doing, girl? You good? Is everything going good? I had no idea that she was actually a virgin. But see, I didn't have a frame of reference for the miraculous. Like, I didn't grow up in church, so I didn't understand that. Okay, so here I am in Georgia. I come back. I get invited to church for the first time at 23 years old. Invite your friends to church. It took 23 years. Invite your friends to church. I come to church and I'm sitting in your seat right here at Renaissance. There's like 20, 30 people. And Jeff's right. I think everything he's saying was garbage. Like, is anyone listening to this guy? But I kept coming back because the band was great. They still are. And I was in depression and I'm like, all right, let me see if something's here. And when you come and you hear someone speak and they talk about the gospel, which is so dear to my heart, okay? It's, first of all, the gospel's complicated, and I want to make it easier for some of us, all right? And here's what I'm hearing Jeff say. Every single person in this room, every single person in this earth is on the same playing field. Like, you're not better and you're not worse than anyone else. You're what we would call a sinner. Like, God set commandments and rules and regulations and things that he wants for his relationship, and we haven't lived up to them. And because we've sinned or fallen short to the glory of God, we're separated now. We're separated. And I'm hearing the gospel like, man, this is something in my heart's changing. Like, I knew all along inherently there was something wrong with me, and I just didn't put the word sinner on it. But I'm sitting in your seat, I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm a sinner. And if I know I'm a sinner, I need a savior. You see that? The only person to fill the gap between the separation from us and God, his name's Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, you have a relationship with God. I didn't know I was separated from him until I heard the gospel preached, because faith comes through hearing. Here I am in your seat. I start believing, and God works on me. Not men, but God did the work in my heart. I come to faith in Christ, and here I am 5-6 years later. And what's that one thing? Like, what's the one thing I wish I would have known when I started following Christ? I want to say it in 4 or 5 different ways so you understand me. But the first one's the most important. I didn't know that following Jesus was going to affect every single area of my life. I didn't know following Jesus was an all-the-time thing, not a sometime thing. I just thought people went to church on Sundays and maybe sometimes Wednesday nights. I didn't know it was this on switch that when you turned on, there was no off button. I didn't know that. Like, warn me, people. I didn't know. Like, come on, man. And this is corny, but sometimes you got to use corny things to get your point across, that when I came to faith in Christ, it was like, bear with me, Cyclops from the X-Men, okay? Something happened to his eyes, and from the moment that happened, he saw everything different. He shot out red beams. Or Daredevil, I'm a superhero guy. Like, something happened to his eyes, and he was blind, but he could still make out figures. But when that issue or that moment happened, he saw everything else differently, and that was me with Christ. When I met him, I saw the world differently. So I didn't know he was going to come in and wreck my life and change my life. I wish someone would have taken me to the scripture we're going to go over today, Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. There's a Bible in the seat in front of you. If you want to take it out, you can turn to page 868. Get out your Bible app if you would like to. If not, you can follow along on the screens. And as you're turning there, we got to understand the context of the story. So at this point in time, Jesus is a big deal. Like, he's got 12 followers. He's got 70 other followers he sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God. He's healed people. He's raised people from the dead. He is a superstar. He is a rock star. When you get to superstar status, people come out the woodworks, man, and want a piece of you. When you're a rock star, comes groupies. And we have three groupies today who want, they've heard the name. They've heard the name. They want to follow him. All right? And each one's a little bit different. Man, I hope it resonates with you today. But it goes back into, I didn't know he was going to wreck my life and change it. All right? As they were going along the road, someone said to him being Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, man, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you awaken hearts today. I pray that people would leave encouraged and they'd want to follow you more. That relationship with you should trump anything else we have in our life. That you want all of us. Open ears. And I pray that the Holy Spirit speak through me, not my own words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Case study number one. The first guy comes up. If we could get 57 to 58 up there, it'd be great. He says, hey, here he comes. Here comes the big deal. Here comes Jesus. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. He goes, just so you know, birds of the air got nests, foxes have holes, but for me, I'm homeless right now. I don't even have anywhere to lay my head. Point number one, like, this idea, and Jeff says this idea that Christ is this cosmic Santa Claus, that you start following him, he's just going to give you presents, or that he's this divine butler in heaven, and you start following him, he's just going to bless you and bless you. That idea is blasted right here. He says, hey, you can follow if you want, but just know right now, I'm homeless. Like, when the sun goes down, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Oh, and by the way, he said in the preceding verses, my face is set towards Jerusalem, meaning I gotta go take up this cross and die for the sins of the world. I gotta go take up a cross, and they're gonna put 7-inch nails between my radius and ulnar bones, and I'm gonna die for the sins of the world. So, if you wanna follow, just know right now I'm homeless, and I have to go take up a cross. Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. If this guy says yes, if you say yes and you leave these doors today and you didn't have a home to go to, your life looks different right now. This keeps coming to my mind, but it's like you got to worry about the weather all of a sudden if you don't got shelter. If he says yes, like, his life looks different. Case study number one. Following Christ may be uncomfortable. Sports term we use all the time. Get comfortable being uncomfortable, because if you guys know anything about sports, anything about your job, like, you already know this, you grow in the hard times anyway. Like, when you do the extra sets of bench press, or you run the extra mile, or you stay after work, like, when you get uncomfortable, that's when you grow. Okay, case study number one, following Christ, man, it might be hard. And if he says yes, not a week from now, that day, his life looks different. Let's move on to the second guy, verses 59 through 60, just to remind us. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, hey, man, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Like, this, Jesus kind of seems rude right there. That's messed up, man. Like, Jesus, my dad's dead. Yeah, who cares? Come with me. Got to understand the context of the verse, all right? Got to. This isn't mine. This is like reading commentary, because I struggled with this verse. And before I go on, like, I'm this guy. I'm the guy who struggles with what this guy struggles with. I'm going to get there. But it makes sense. Like, if his dad's dead, he's at the funeral. He's not here right now. So conjecture would tell us, common sense would tell us, his dad's not dead. got to understand Jewish culture that day. There were no caretakers to take care of your mom and dad when they got old. There was no, hey, my family's getting old. Can you watch after them during the day? There was no primrose, so to speak, and have it. So you know who did take care of them? Sons and daughters did. Sons and daughters. And here's the key. If he goes and takes care of his dad might pass in a year. It might be 5. It might be 10. He doesn't know. But if he goes and takes care of his dad, when he passes, he gets an inheritance. He might get the house. He might get land. He might get livestock. And all that comes with that. And now do you see a struggle? Like, I really think he wants to follow Christ. I'm not kidding. He wants to follow. But you see, he's going to take care of his dad and get the inheritance. And then he's going to follow Jesus. If he doesn't, inheritance is gone. He's got to follow Christ. And here's what he's saying. This is me. Here's what he's saying. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but I'm going to do it someday. I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to do it someday. I'm going to set my own terms. It's the kid who just graduated college. He's got student debt, and he just got his job, but he's working on weekends, man, to take extra shifts. But he's so desired to start that Bible study. He has, because it's going to help his relationship with Christ, and he'll get there, but he can't do it right now. He's got too much going on. He'll do it, but it's going to be someday. It's the couple in here who's had a rocky marriage, but man, they've remained faithful to each other. But they got one in college. They got one in high school, and they both play sports. And they got to go see the one in college on the weekends. And then during the week, they got to take their son to and from practice. And again, their marriage has struggled, and they want to input into other marriages that have struggled. Like, they want to build up the church, Christians and non-Christians alike. They know if they do it, they get a better relationship, not only with each other, and the people around them, but with their Heavenly Father as well. And they want to do it, but they got too much going on, so they'll do it someday. I'm a basketball coach. In basketball, you get 4 quarters. After 4 quarters, you decide who wins, win or loser after 4 quarters. I tell my team, guys, if we wait until the 4th quarter to play hard, if we wait until the 4th quarter to play with a sense of urgency, it might be too late. Like, when the game's over and you just played hard in the 4th, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and you're going to be disappointed in yourself because you waited too long to play hard. However, team, if we play hard 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we can live with those results. We can live with them if we play with a sense of urgency from the beginning. Do you see the translation to Christ? He wants us, and he wants us now. He tells this guy, don't follow me someday. Do it right now, because it's not morbid. It's truth. You're going to pass away. You don't know when it's going to be, man. I could die tomorrow. I don't want it to be too late. If I wait to the 4th quarter, I can't live with myself. But if I start now, no matter what results I get, I can live with those. I don't want to wait to do it someday. I want it now. And you know what the reality is? I don't get to even set my terms for discipleship. Jesus said, leave them. You follow me. Best thing about our Lord, one of my favorites, is you don't have to follow. You can. You can accept or reject. He leaves it up to them, and I'm urging you today. Don't wait until someday, because it might be too late. Case study number 2. Again, if he says yes, if that guy says yes, his life looks different, not a week from now, starting that day. Case study number 3, just to remind us, the last guy comes up. He said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first, let me say farewell to those at my home. Like, can I just get a goodbye? Like, come on, man. Like, I just go say bye. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. He's saying, once you get on the plow, you stay on the plow. Once you get on the plow, you don't look back. Okay? That's the idea. Going to leave it here. I'm going to introduce a word that's going to make me sound smart, though I'm not very smart, okay? It's called compartmentalization. Compartmentalization is this. You break things up into sections or categories or lists. In compartmentalization, nothing is whole. Okay? Anyone play Trivial Pursuit in here, ever played? Nobody? Oh my gosh, we got two people. Maybe this is a bad example. Oh, we got a few more. All right. So I always think of compartmentalization like the game piece in Trivial Pursuit, like there's six sections, and when you get an answer right, you put one in. Then you put another one in. The point is nothing's whole. Everything's sectioned off. And we'll take this idea, and I want to give an example of two ideas today where we don't even agree with compartmentalization. The idea that nothing's whole, we don't even agree with it. All right? First one, let's take a vegetarian. When you sign up to be a vegetarian, you say, like, I don't eat meat. No longer eat meat. I'm a vegetarian, right? However, one time a month, I'm going to go to Texas Roadhouse and get an 8-ounce sirloin done medium because medium well is like a brick. So I'm going to go get medium, and I'm going to eat that piece of meat. You wouldn't call that person a vegetarian even if they did it one time a month. Like, bro, you still eat meat. I don't care if it's one time a year. You're not a vegetarian. That's compartmentalization. Nothing's whole. It is for a little bit, and then you break off and do something else. Another example. Let's say this guy, man, he's met her, bro. She's 5'4". Maybe this is what I like. I don't know. She's 5'4", and she's blonde. She's not blonde because them girls are crazy. She's brunette. 5'4", brunette. She's got good eyes. She works out a little bit. She looks kind of good. She doesn't do CrossFit, but she runs, and she's kind of got it. And I'm like, I want to take it to the next level. We've been dating for 3 years. 3 years. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay? He gets down on one knee. Felicia? Before you answer this question, I want you to marry me, but before you answer, you have to know. I still want to see other people a few times a year. No one's saying yes to that. No girl is saying yes to that, and that is compartmentalization. You're in it for a little bit, but you've sectioned off this little area where you're not in. Christ doesn't agree with it. Once you get on the plow, he says, you stay on it. If you look back, you're not fit for my kingdom. How dare you break my relationship up into compartments and section me off? How dare you just follow me a few days of the week? Don't compartmentalize my relationship with you. That's not how I work. Once you're on the plow, you stay on the plow. If there's ever a time for Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who we're supposed to live like, if there's ever a time for him to get off the plow, so to speak, it's right now. You want to know why? Because he's going to go to the cross. Remember, his face is set towards Jerusalem. If there's ever a time to get out and stop following the will of God, it's right now. It's right now. Stop. Just get away from that, Jesus. Like, but no. He stayed on the plow, and he urges us to do the same. Case study number 3. He wants an all-in guy or girl. One, you jump in the pool, you stay in the pool, you don't get out. You just don't dip a toe in. If you follow, he wants all of you. And I go back to my one thing. It's like, I had no idea that Jesus wanted all of my life. I had no idea. I wish someone would have taken me here. And I'm explaining this to Jeff. I'm explaining this to Joe because before you got to get up here, you got to practice preach. It's kind of nerve-wracking. Like, Jeff sat over there and Joe sat here and the room was empty. Like, it was just weird. And like, you try to crack jokes and they don't think it's funny. You're just like, oh my God, this is awful. Goodness. And I'm saying this to them and they're not being smart, Alex. They're being honest. They're like, no, we love it. But so what? What does this mean? What's this mean? What's this mean for you? What's this mean for us? I want to start with number one, what it doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean. A lot of you are about to breathe finally. We hear all the time that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he did. That's a truth we believe. One of those sins is discipleship. You can't follow God the way he wants you to follow him. It's impossible. If I ask the 500 to 600 people who come in here today, hey, you can sign up to be along with Christ. You can follow him. You got to be homeless, though. Oh, you got to leave your family, and you can't even bid them farewell. Zero people are signing up for that. Like, we're out. But good thing, he paid for the sin of discipleship in full because you can't follow him the way he wants you to anyway. Amen to that. He paid the sin in full. Can I get just one amen? Thank you. Because you can't do it. You can't. It's not possible. but good thing Jesus did. I don't want to share about myself, but as I was explaining this, one of the leaders was like, this message you have to say. What does this mean to you personally, okay? So let me get there. I've got on this running kick. I promise I have a point. I've got on this running kick right now. Something about putting headphones in. You get an hour away, and your body looks a little bit better. I've lost some weight. Might have a six-pack, ladies. Just throwing that out there. And I'm on this running kick right now, and I want to test myself, so I signed up for a 50-mile ultra marathon. Could be the dumbest thing I've ever done. Like, I might get to mile 30 and be like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever... Well, good thing I checked the race map. Like, you go out 25 and come back. Like, so if I'm at mile 30, I still got to finish, which sucks. But anyway, I'm on this running kick. Like, I want to, like, what am I made of? Am I soft? I might be soft. I don't know. I'm going to try 50 miles. But my mom being my mom, being a good person, Robert, you're doing too much, man. The body's not made to run 50 miles. You're over-exaggerating. Like, you're doing the absolute most. And some of you are like me. Don't you lie. Some of you play the guitar way too much. Some of you play golf way too much. Some of you over-exaggerate things in your life, and I'm right there with you. But do not let anyone ever tell you can over-exaggerate following Christ. Can over-exaggerate a lot. I'm 50 miles too much. It's probably stupid. But don't let anyone ever tell you you're following him too much. You're following him too closely. I came to Christ and people are like, you're giving up too much for him. And I thought I was. I'm here to tell you that's not true. You can over-exaggerate a lot of things in life. You can't over-exaggerate following him. Don't let anyone tell you different. Next, I stepped down as head coach at Merle Forsyth High School. I don't say head coach to make me seem cool. I say it because good head coaching jobs, they don't come around very often. They just don't. I wasn't asked to step down. I did it myself, and I felt God saying, get out of Central Illinois. Go somewhere else. And I'm faced with two options. I can say yes to that, or I can say no. And I'm just trying to choose to follow him. So I stepped down as head coach. I left that job, and now I'm moving. All because I'm following Christ. I hope that encouraged someone today. It gets tough. Making decisions based off Jesus is tough. It's not easy. Don't let anyone fool you. And I start following Christ, man, and I'm trying to do my best today. And I struggle so much, but here's some things that happened. I started following him, and I created relationships inside the church. Joe Auville is one of my best friends. Joe Auville was homeschooled and doesn't like basketball, completely opposite than me. But he's one of my best friends to this day because he loves Jesus and I love Jesus. And I started getting around like-minded people that he even talked about. And I started following Christ. Well, some of my friends, remember, I didn't grow up in church. Some of my best friends I've known for 20, 21, 22 years are following the world. And those relationships exploded. It's not like I met with them and said, hey, we can no longer be friends because I'm following Christ. No, it happens when you follow Jesus. Relationships end. You don't want them to. Dreams, visions changed. I've always wanted to win basketball games as a player and as a coach. And I'm a coach now. Like, I want to win games. It's good to be competitive. It is. However, I still got that dream to win games, but that is so secondary to reaching people for the kingdom of God. You know, it's just like, it's a good thing to want to reach people for him. And my dreams, though they stayed the same, they now included Christ. Just because I said yes, what does this mean for you? I'm about to land the plane. When Jeff Watts says that means it's like 15 or 20 more minutes. Like, we know that, right? Like, no, like, I'm seriously about done. I got a few more points, so bear with me, because I usually save the best for last. Good public speakers, in my opinion, they hit their main point and they hit it often. You're going to forget what I say probably in 20 minutes. However, you might remember that one thing. If those three said yes, man, if they said yes that day, their life looks different. Life looks different. Secondly, renew your mind. The Bible talks about it often. Following Jesus might be tough. Again, first guy would have been homeless. The second guy wouldn't have gotten inheritance. It might be hard. Might be hard. It's not always full of sunshine. I know some of you in here are struggling today. It's okay. You're like Jesus because Jesus suffered. He had hard times too, right? And it's Father's Day, okay? Shout out to you, Dad. It's Father's Day. Our Heavenly Father is so obsessed with you that he gave up his most prized possession. He gave him up for you guys. Like, that's what our Heavenly Father did for you. So, he's asking you to do something that's hard. It's not to hurt you. It's to benefit you. He's already for you anyway. He's not going to tell you to take up a job just so it's hard for you, to make it tough. No, it's to benefit you. It's to benefit you. Jesus Christ said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. If he's asking you to do something today that looks hard, it might be for you, to benefit you. And we have to understand the central theme, one of the central themes of Christianity is the cross, right? Like, we get that. The cross is an instrument for death. So if you follow him and you desire to be like him, suffering at some point has to be on your plate. And good thing when it is, because you get to act like Jesus and be like Jesus and stay firm in your faith. It's got to be on your plate at some point. How can we be like Jesus if we never suffer? Man. Now, last point. I'm a basketball guy. Like, you get out what you put in, right? Not so with Christianity, because Jesus has already done everything. However, hear me. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. If I have a God who loves me that much and gave up his son for me, I don't know if my correct response is to sit and do nothing. I should probably say yes if he asked me to do something hard. I don't know if I'm just supposed to say thank you and sit in AC all day and sit by myself. Like, maybe I should get involved. Maybe I should do something, because if you love someone, you do things for them. He loved you so much. I'm like, I don't know if I can love him back by sitting. Remember, he's not going to ask you or lead you somewhere that's to hurt you, it's to benefit you. He said, I came that you may have life. So, if someone were sitting down with me, hey, I'm about to follow Christ, what's that? What's the one thing you want to tell me? If you say yes to him, he wants all of your life. And he's going to desire to change every single area of your life if you say yes. I'm going to go ahead and pray. The band's going to come back up here. We'll go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, I want people to leave encouraged today. I just want people to follow you because it's the best thing for them. It's the best thing for them. You are obsessed with us, and you ask us to do things that are going to benefit us. I pray that someone today heard the gospel for the first time, and that the Holy Spirit would do the work here. I pray that in this time of worship, people would just love on Jesus. In your name I pray.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Renaissance Podcast. God is doing some truly amazing things in our city, and we're so blessed to be a part of that. For more information about the church and ways to get involved, please visit our website at rendecatur.org. God bless.